Welcome to Messy Business, the podcast about the realities of making it all work whilst juggling everything life throws at you. I'm Libby Langley, business mentor, author, self-employed since 2011 and still making it up as I go along, still occasionally crying into my laptop and still here for it. This isn't shouting strategy from the rooftops. It's about what's working, what's changing, what I'm experimenting with, all shared so you feel more supported and more human in your own messy business. Here's this week's episode. Enjoy. Hi, I'm Libby Langley, your host of Messy Business. Welcome to episode 169. Can you believe we've done that many? Madness. So proud. So this isn't a strategy episode. It's more of a kind of wonder out loud episode. It's an episode about curiosity. It's about noticing the colour coming back into things that have felt grey for too long, quite frankly. It's about fun, the thing that I think a lot of us accidentally left behind when the world got a bit strange and the internet got very noisy indeed. And also what might happen if we let joy lead the way in 2026. Can you even imagine? It'd be so cool. Oh, so what happened when fun left the room? I don't know, really, but it's happened. I think it's happened over the last couple of years. And this is not for everybody. You might be going, my business is loads of fun. I'm having loads of fun. But of every single business owner that I've spoken to, that's not the case. So, and also a lot of the stuff I've seen online. So I imagine you wouldn't be here if you feel like everything is utterly amazing all the time. But you know, I think the things that happened really was, well, fun is usually the first thing to go, right? And it's the last thing that we give ourselves permission to reclaim because it feels so frivolous, it feels so pointless, but it's utterly the point of life, right? Business became performance. It became about showing up. It became about visibility. It became about being seen. It became about growing likes. It became, you know, all that kind of stuff and content. You know, it became about public proving and validation rather than just, here's something I find interesting or here's something I know about that's really going to be helpful to you. It was, it's like, you can't just say that anymore. Well, you can, of course. But, you know, people don't just say that anymore. They do it as a bloody B-roll reel. And it's like, you don't need to do that. You know, none of us need to do that. We don't need to algorithm chase. People will find us. Less so, more slowly, but they'll still find us. You know, if you never post another thing on social media again, you will find another way of connecting with your audience. It's as simple as that. You just got to be brave, right? Service became self-sacrifice. Value became output. Oh my God, that's the one I'm the most guilty of all of these. You know, got to give value in my podcast, got to give value in my emails. And yes, of course, because people are busy, nobody just wants to read, a load of rubbish. But people will want to listen to and read thoughts from a thought leader. You can call yourself that. You know, Pamela Anderson has, for the last couple of years, I think she sends out her, it's basically just kind of journaling. She sends that out. And Seth Godin, he sends out daily emails, I think, of his blog, which are very short, just of thoughts. And it's great. They're great to read because they're just observations of life. And I know they are people in position, you know, great public positions, therefore income generation is a different matter for them, different question for them. However, there's certainly a lot to be said about that. More and more people are moving to Substack. I've had one half set up for about 18 months, but 2026 is my year of doing that because it's a kind of place where you can share what you think without having to video yourself walking down a bloody street and put some text over that. I don't know. It doesn't matter. And the stuff that matters are the thoughts that we have and the opinions that we have and that value that we share. You know, value itself is not an output. Value is value, right? Life doesn't need to become just about logistics. It can be about living. And, you know, staying, certainly in 2025, I stayed competent whilst feeling nothing a lot of the time. And that's rubbish. You know, doing for doing's sake. And, you know, that's not about my clients at all. It's not about the people that I worked with. They were just a joy. all the way through, but it's the kind of vehicle of it all that I created for myself. And, you know, I take responsibility for this, obviously, because nobody's made me do anything, but I'm not immune to the stuff that's said online and what other people are doing. And that's not imposter syndrome and nor is it FOMO. It's kind of just a reality of, like, if everybody's saying something, then it's quite hard to not at least experiment with it. And that you've got to be a really, really strong person and probably not neurodivergent in order to just go, this is my path and I'm sticking to it, la, 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 la. Yeah. So, you know, there's no bad feeling here or anything like that. No judgment. It's just like, yeah, okay. So, you know, actually catch yourself before you do that. And there is an enormous cost of being dependable, which is often invisible. And again, yep, guilty. Always there, always reliable, always the one who'll do the thing or is available for the thing, who will help with the thing. And I don't know if that's really a boundary. It's not really a boundaries thing. It's more a, if I help you, you'll like me. It's something that I need therapy for. proving your worth. It comes from a lifetime of being the disappointing younger child. I know that, but it's true. And I kind of, I don't know. I don't need to do that. I just don't need to do that anymore. I'm 51, for Christ's sake. I don't need to do that anymore, she says, but I will continue to, but at least I'm aware of it now, right? Fun. The thing about fun is I am a really fun person. I like to do really silly things. I do like to dance in the supermarket when they play music. Oh, I went, time of recording, I went yesterday to Sainsbury's and they don't often have music on, but they had a Christmas song on when I first went in, and then they switched to non-Christmas songs. It was quite loud, but it was very quiet in there because I went at, I don't know, 4:30 or something. And they played a bit of Rick Astley and then a bit of Cher. And you know what? I had a lovely time. I was humming away, singing a few bits out loud, doing my shopping. And it was just like, I just saw the joy in it. And that's a really ordinary, mundane, middle-aged example of what fun can be. But I also think it's quite important because fun can be found in it. In all areas. It doesn't need to be like a big organised fun. It's just like, I really enjoyed that. I found a real joy in that. I felt really happy doing that. And that's great. And that's in the little moments, but they need to be recognised because it's like, oh, well, I went to Sainsbury's in the afternoon and after having my eyebrows done and whatever. And so I should have been working. And it's like, no, do you know what? It did me loads of good and I enjoyed it. And so fine. And I can make a podcast episode out of it. So it's never wasted. But fun isn't unprofessional. It's a really important human trait. You know, joy will expand capacity. Play will make your brain smarter. That's genuinely true. You know, learning through play is proven. Creativity is the thing that unlocks solutions to stuff. Clients really, they want presence more than polish. And I've never claimed to be polished or perfect. But I think I've always said I'm not polished or perfect whilst also desperately trying to be polished and perfect. But now I'm just like, no, this is fine. My brain is brilliant and it always will be. The rest of it just doesn't matter. The rest of what is what makes me me, and that's the personality. And so that shouldn't be dampened. And doing daft, impulsive, silly stuff and saying, yeah, do you want to come too? Then I think there's a big place for that for 2026. And the best ideas definitely happen when doing something else entirely. And I know I've mentioned it lots of times, but am I going to do it? I might well do it. Some kind of mastermind day where we paint pots. I don't know why painting pots. I don't think I've ever done it in my life, but it's just something that kind of really appeals. And I think it's the kind of stuff that's needed, you know, talk about our businesses whilst also painting pots. Well, you talk about your business and I support you. But let's see. And, you know, if you really desperately want to do that, then do let me know. But I will not be doing any spa days. I just don't want to do that. If I want to go on a spa day, I want to go with my husband and I don't want to talk about business. I just want to enjoy stuff. So I will never do a mastermind spa day. So find someone else if you want one of those. But if you want to paint pots or, you know, I don't know, go to a theme park, then for sure, let me know. Or maybe just like on a long bus trip where we sing old school primary school bangers, whatever. I don't know. So, you know, adult all this we kind of forget, because adulting has like kind of brand guidelines, right? And who's to say, you know, I am autistic ADHD, you might well be one or both, two, you probably are or suspect you are, because you're listening to this, and it's like, that's not how we don't conform to the neurotypical world. So why are we trying to? Let's not do that anymore. You know, business isn't meant to be endured. My creativity, I think, has been so stifled for so long that it's coming out, or I'm going to go pop. You know, I went into burnout because I think really it was the house stuff, the house renovations, that sent me over the edge in the end. And it's because it's such a creative process. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's incredibly difficult living in it, but it's such a creative process. But because of all this other stuff, and by that I mean my business or my obligations in business, I couldn't do both. And that's something that we should be able to do. We should allow ourselves the time and space to do the things that really fire us up, because it fires the other stuff up too. Absolutely. And you know, you don't have to monetize your creativity. It can just be fun for fun's sake. That's okay too. So what I reckon joy-led work looks like, and I like that, joy-led. You know, if it's not fun, don't do it. Let joy lead your life, and lead your life, lead your work, and see what happens. I think it's slower, it's smaller, it's better, though. Crucially, I think it will be better being slower and smaller. There will be seasons of work, not conveyor belts of work. And that's different to consistency, right? I'm not saying you'll have massive peak months and then down troughs. I just think there's an element of seasonality to stuff. There needs to be for us as humans, because we are seasonal beings. You know, we don't have as much energy in the winter as we do in the summer, because light and, I don't know, temperature and all that chisel. Offers that start as experiments is an interesting one. And I think that's something that I've never done. And I did in the first 2 or 3 years of business, when I was just like, yes, nothing could faze me then. But I think offers that start as experiments, like, you know, come to a mastermind day while you're painting pots. I think, I don't know. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? It would be a great day. There's like no obligation to it. It's a bit silly. It's a bit different. It's a bit fun. And would it happen once or 10 times? Who knows? Or not at all? Maybe. But it doesn't matter. It's just kind of an idea that feels like a good idea. And that's what joy-led is. It feels like it could work, right? Curiosity-led, absolutely. Curiosity-led income, certainly not panic-led. And I know in the last 5 years, the things that I've created, I have wanted to do them and I've wanted to run them, but they have been from a monetization, this will make me money point of view, rather than, do you know what, this is going to be hilarious for everybody involved and therefore make the world a better place. So yeah, I've half led with what I preach, but not fully. And I think I've been too afraid to do that. But closing my group program has been, it's been an enormous decision, an enormous weight. And I think probably the biggest one since I made my staff redundant 10 years ago. It's been that big a decision for me. And knowing I've done that and I've not died, nobody else has died, has actually given me, it's liberated me to think, so let's just do it for the lols and see what happens next time. So definitely about conversations, not campaigns. And for joy-led work, it really needs to be impact through depth, not volume. Yeah, it just needs to be. We need to make an impact. That's so important. But it needs to be a proper deep impact, I think. And knowing that your capacity is a strength for you, not a limitation. You know, and one of the things I'm experimenting with, as well as the pop painting mastermind, which I actually need to do because I've talked about it so much, is my problem solved sessions. You know, you do a brain dump in a voice note or an email, pay your money via Stripe link, and because I ain't got a sales page still, I'll send you back clarity on what to do. I'll solve your problem. I'll give you a plan, action steps, make you feel better. No bells, no whistles, no commitment. That's it. And I just think that's going to, I think it's going to work. Because I think it's the kind of stuff that I used to do, but haven't been brave enough to just do yet. And, you know, pricing it at £149, it's like, it's kind of a no-brainer to get the answer and the support, because you've tested me out, right? You've listened to enough episodes of this to know that I know what I'm talking about and to know that I can help you and can support you. And it's just, oh God, what would Libby do? Right, I'm going to brain dump, pay my money, she's going to tell me. And it's simple as that, right? You know, that's really joy-led work to me. It's really fun and exciting because I never know what's going to happen. So I've got some predictions for 2025. Well, I think this is the sort of shift that's happening. So I think that people are going to get increasingly tired with the AI slop. And yes, I mean those of you who put out unedited ChatGPT written content. If anything says, here's the thing, or not this, not that, just so-and-so, please stop it. You know, we can all spot AI content now. It's so tiring. There's so many people's... I used to quite enjoy reading people's emails and stuff, and now I'm just like, oh, you've got AI to write this. It's just rubbish now. It's like anybody could have written it. And yes, you know, I'm a massive fan of ChatGPT. It's like, you know, closer to me than a lot of family members these days. But for certain things, you know, second brain stuff, I find it really helpful for. I'm not going to get it to write all my content. And I did at the start. I did lean on it too heavily in terms of content writing. But now I'm just like, oh, now this is just like everybody else's. So, you know, will my content be as to the point? Probably not. But, you know, I like a ramble. You know that. That's why you're here. And I think certainly the AI generated images and videos as well. Oh my God. And there's somebody, AI podcasts. I really don't like this concept. I really don't like this concept at all. Where you record it or you submit enough stuff of you talking and your point of view on various things, and AI podcasts are created out of it. I am really uncomfortable with that. And if I ever found out that I was listening to any, I mean, you can tell this isn't right because I don't even finish a sentence. AI would finish all my sentences and you'd be like, what's happened to Libby? She's finished a sentence. But I just don't like it. And I've listened to bits of a couple and you can tell. You can tell because it removes those kind of odd pauses and those ums and ahs and all of that. And some people have said, you know, some people say you should edit all that out of your podcast. But I'm like, no, mate, because if you ever spoke to me, you would know this is how I speak. So, yeah, really, I seriously hope that they don't take off, because I just don't like that. You know, I mean, Max Headroom was great in the, was that the 90s, 80s, 90s? But we just don't need that now, right? We need to be more human. So, you know, voice, story, imperfection, you, really important. We don't need inspirational sludge. We need proper stuff that's raw and that is you. I can't tell you how strongly I feel about that. And I'm a big fan of AI, but there is a time and a place for that. Crikey, that was a soapbox, but it's a hill I'm going to die on, that one for sure. More in-person stuff, smaller, more intimate, micro-led. Conferences, yes. Still a big place for some conferences. I'll be going to Atomicon, as I do every June, in Newcastle. It's great. If you want to know about tickets for that, then drop me a message. It's a really good conference because there's some good people there. But other than that... I don't know, discerning choices. But I think really there's a big place for smaller, intimate stuff and networking, in-person networking. Get out there and meet some people. I think that's really, really important. Don't look at it as like going to pitch your stuff. Just look at it as going to, I don't know, make some friends, that kind of thing. It's belonging, not broadcasting, that matters. Another prediction, social media fatigue is going to... it's not going to be a kind of trend of, oh, I'm so tired of social media. Follow me on social media to find out how to have a business without social media. It's like, it's just rubbish, that. But, you know, I think creators are going to start reducing some stuff. I think people are going to browse a bit more privately, not going to engage with as much stuff. And I think, well, and I hope that businesses will stop bending themselves into kind of performing monkeys here. I hope that the stuff that is shared online, that you share, that I share online, is the stuff that we feel like sharing, not because of any algorithms or anything like that. And I think more people will be leaving social media for their businesses. I do. There's already an enormous trend of that. I think there'll probably be more stuff on YouTube because that's kind of not social media the same. Definitely be more stuff on Substack. Threads is going to become increasingly important in conversations with stuff until they put ads on it and kill it. So those things, I think our fatigue around that will continue. Everything sounding so polished we're going to see through that, right? We want rough edges. We want kind of ripped corners, you know, that definitely, we definitely want that kind of stuff. Like stuff used to be when it really used to catch on. And, you know, neurodivergence, perimenopause, menopause, capacity, mental health, they're not going to be side notes anymore. It's already being talked about a lot more. Partly because we've been oversubscribed, overdiagnosed, but it is more of a conversation, and they're going to become part of strategy. They're going to become part of culture. They're going to become the business model. And certainly for me, that's what needs to happen. You know, all of those things. I've never thought that I had, I don't know what the expression is, like delicate mental health. I don't know what the expression is. But I think I probably do. And I think it's because of my neurodivergence. And I've always tried to absolutely fit myself tightly into a neurotypical role and world. And so I'm not doing that anymore. And that fun, play and creativity, there won't be a bonus, right? They'll become a real part of the return of investment conversation. The better ideas, better resilience, better retention, better life. How much fun can you have? How much fun did you have today? That's horrible. That makes it horrible. But, you know, I don't know, if you write a journal or something like that, you know, what fun things happened today? And it would just be so joyful to read all that and to remember all that, because that's the stuff that we forget. You know, like singing along to Rick Astley in Sainsbury's. It's just, I don't know, it just makes life a little bit better. And I think all of that is going to become increasingly important in 2026. If you want to survive mentally and in business, I think you've got to be so absolutely true to yourself that you become like this weird micro niche on your own. But the people are craving that. There's too much sameness. There's too much AI slop. There's too much of everybody copying everybody else. And doing things differently, and I don't mean that as a we do things differently. I mean it as a just doing things in the way that only you can, because there is only one you. That's the way it's got to go. And it takes bravery and it takes courage. But actually, it's a lot easier and it's a lot smaller, slower, and better for you and for your clients. And it's quite exciting. You know, I do think it's quite exciting. And that's who I'm working with in 2026, right? People who want that. That's how I'm going to work. That's how I'm going to work with you. So you've got to be willing to really do it the way you want to do it. You might not know how to do that, but I'll help you do that. That's what I want for 2026. So, and the businesses that win in 2026, they will not be the ones shouting the loudest. They'll be the ones feeling the most like real humans. Strongly, strongly predict that. So, questions for 2026. Not how do I stay relevant? That's just awful, isn't it? But what actually matters to me right now? Not what would make me look successful, because who gives a shit? But what would make my life better? It's turning it from external to internal, and that's how things improve. Not how do I keep what I've built, but what am I allowed to walk away from? Isn't that lovely? It's so exciting. I don't think I've ended a year that's been so dreadful in so many ways, feeling so absolutely joyful and excited about what's to come. And I really have the least plan I think I've ever had about what it's actually going to go. You know, I want to lead with joy. I want to lead with fun. I want to lead with humanity. I want to connect people. I want to support people in an asynchronous way that supports me and supports them. I want to deliver brilliance. I want to make the world a better place. But actually what that looks like, apart from half an idea of painting pots as a mastermind day. But my problem solve sessions, you know, they exist. They exist. They just don't have a sales page. But, you know, you message me, tell me what's going on. I'll send you a Stripe link. I'll give you the answers. That's enough of a thing. That's enough of a thing, right? I've spent so many years talking to people and to doing keynotes and doing this podcast and sharing content that it's like, if you don't know by now whether you trust me to give me £149 and to tell me your problem and I will solve it, you ain't never gonna. And that's fine too, right? But it's like, I don't need to prove anything else and you don't need to prove anything else. We've spent too long trying to prove ourselves and now we can just be ourselves. And that's possibly the most liberating thing that you can do for this next year. Oh my God, I almost feel tearful saying that. So if something in this episode has nudged you towards joy or reminded you really of something you've buried because life got too shitty and too serious, I would love to know which part. And so do message me or email me or find me. I'm Libby Langley all over the place. You'll find me. And if 2026 is the year you want to start making decisions based on what actually matters to you, not what you should do, not what you can do, we might well just be on this path together. And it's going to be a really exciting path. There's going to be a few humps and bumps and rocks, but, you know, we can skip over those like mountain goats. That's absolutely fine. So here is to finding fun again, whatever that looks like to you. Slowly, quietly, and with curiosity. I can't wait. I genuinely feel really excited about 2026. So bring it on. Looking forward to being on this journey with you. Lots of love and gonna see you on the next episode of Messy Business. Bye. Thanks for joining me for another episode of Messy Business. If something sparked a thought or started a shift, I would genuinely love to hear about it. Let me know on Instagram @Libby Langley. Until next time, make space, stay curious, and do more of what you love.